All right, well, just to keep things moving, I'm going to go ahead and get started. We'll probably have some folks still come in. But I just want to thank you for being here at this conference, for caring enough to show up, carve out time, and be here. Our heart is that hopefully, sat in on a part of this morning. This was incredibly inspired, and I think that inspiration is going to continue to happen in the sessions, and hopefully here, this is going to be practical, just to give you tools in the toolbox, and we might get in the weeds on a few things. We won't stay there long, but hopefully we get into enough detail that it's practical and helpful. You walk away going, hey, I've got a little bit better idea of adoption funding and how that works. So I'm going to just start us off with a prayer, then we'll turn out the lights and get started here. Father God, we want to commit to you this presentation and just pray that you would be seen as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and in your great pursuit of orphan children to become adopted into Christian families, we pray that you'd break down every barrier and you'd show yourself mighty as that Jehovah Jireh. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is going to be about adoption funding, church adoption funds, but I hope that sub tagline there, more than just dollars and cents, I hope that that's the reality here. It's not just the finances, because God shows himself more important. And I know this is a rhetorical question, but why is adoption funding so important? Here's just a little picture of why it is. Wyatt is a young boy who was born with a cleft lip and palate. You can see one finger only on each hand. And he was born with just two toes on each feet, congenital heart defect, all kinds of special needs. So he was abandoned in Lithuania. And here he is growing up in Lithuania for the first 4 years of his life in this warehouse, really. It's just a warehouse for kids. That's what most orphanages are in Eastern Europe. Meanwhile, in California, God is moving within Scott and Heather Reddington's heart. And they had adopted and fostered several children with special needs, and one of them was a nurse, so they were experienced with some of those medical special needs that happen, and felt like God maybe had wired them or equipped them to adopt another child like that. When they saw Wyatt, they were moved. They're like, God has equipped us for such a child as this, and so they were ready to step up. The finances were the biggest barrier, so we were able to give them, through LifeSong, an adoption matching grant to help bring Wyatt home. Here is a picture of Wyatt in the hospital in California, getting some much-needed surgeries. And here, just a little while later, is this man, this young man, with just one finger on each hand and two toes on each feet, rock climbing. And I think it's a great picture, not that rock climbing is that important, but the fact that here he is thriving in a Christian adoptive family, and he's getting to experience the abundant life, both spiritually and physically, instead of really rotting away in the orphanages that they are. I got an email from Heather, and she said, you know, when Wyatt sings, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, it becomes so much more real because he's seen God really being lived out in his life by providing him with a mom and dad. And that's the most tangible way that Jesus has, at that age, has shown up for him. And how I love this verse, that God sets the lonely into families. He sovereignly and divinely places which child he's crafted for which families. And that's an incredible divine process. This is another picture of just why this is important. I know you all know, but it's just fun to see again visually. This is a picture of Naomi in a Guatemalan orphanage. She was 3 years old at the time that picture was taken. And look into her eyes just for a moment on the left-hand picture there. And what do you see? I see some emptiness. I see some fear. I see some defense mechanisms. I see some loneliness. And then you look into her eyes here, 6 months after she was adopted into a family that served at Campus Crusade for Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas. And here she's thriving again in an adoptive family. And that is why we care about the dollars and the cents. And that's why it's so much more than that, actually. And just a little, I can't talk without at least sharing a picture of my family. So this is my dear wife, Jill. We've been married 12 years, and then we have four children. Traver is 10, Haley is 8, Caleb is 5, and Hope is 2. So that picture is a little bit outdated, but Caleb is from Korea, and Hope is from Ethiopia. So we are certainly touched and changed and gloriously ruined forever through adoption. Okay, so let's talk about the cost. Let's get into it. The cost seems financially impossible, and yet I really want to invite you to not think of it as just a cost or a fee or a price in many ways, but think of it as a ransom and how God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for many. This is a ransom of a child that really is meant because of sin and sin entering the world and a broken family. Adoption is built on brokenness, right? At some level, there's loss somewhere, maybe in several places in an adoption. But out of that brokenness, Isaiah talks about how where there's mourning, God wants to replace that with joy. Where there's sadness, God wants to replace that with praise. Beauty out of ashes, beauty out of brokenness, and that's what's going to happen through adoption. And just, we're going to talk about Life Song for Orphans, where I serve, and some other groups. But at the end of the day, all those are just instruments. God alone is the provider, not Life Song for Orphans, not the World Bank, not anybody, right? So just a quick overview of the cost of adoption. How much will it cost? State foster care, it would cost you nothing. Maybe you even get a subsidy to help provide for that child through 18. This is very average range here of adoption. Domestically, could be $8,000 to $25,000. International, could be $20,000 to $30,000 plus. We're going to talk about some funding solutions. These are the four main tools. There's others, but this will get us started here. A great place to get direct grants would be Show Hope, formerly known as Johannes Hope, Stephen Curtis Chapman's ministry. So a direct grant is basically, hey, here is money. We want to help bless your adoption. Here you go with a certain dollar amount, and we're covering your adoption costs and expenses. That's the most basic form of adoption funding. And when you think of grants, that's probably what you think of. Here's a little bit different twist on that. We're going to talk about matching grants. And this is one of the tools that Life Song for Orphans uses, that we give matching grants of up to $4,000 per child. And the reason why we do this, the paradigm is that adoption is more than just adding to a family or building a family. But this is really evangelism and discipleship just at its very core. This is bringing the mission field home. This is missions in reverse. And so with that paradigm, this is not a selfish thing. This is a kingdom activity. And if this is a kingdom activity, then let's engage the body of Christ. And so that's what we do. The dollar amount of a matching grant that we commit to a family, we say, here's this matching grant amount, and we'd like to use this as a match, encouraging your family, friends, people that you know to consider giving. And we will match that dollar for dollar up to whatever the commitment is that we make. And it really mobilizes the body of Christ to engage and to care. There's a family, Tim and Monica Harlow. And when we first started doing matching grants, I remember her saying, you know, she applied to Life Song, and we told her we can come alongside of you with a $2,500 matching grant. And she's like, oh, that's great and everything, but can't you just give me a direct grant? You know, I don't know if I really want to mess with inviting my family and friends, people within my church that I know. I said we could do that, but I think this has got a lot of power. And she's like, you know, my church is small and relatively not affluent. They're even a little bit on what you'd call the poor side. And I said, you know what, you might be right, but let's just commit this to God and see what happens. About 3 to 4 weeks later, she calls me, and I can tell she's emotional and over the phone, and she's like, you're not going to believe this. I can't believe that there's been over $11,000 total that's come in for our adoption. And she said, I never knew how much our church loved me. I never knew how much our church loved Jade. That's the little girl from China that they ended up adopting. I give that to you as an example that maybe you think you are not wealthy, or you don't know people that are wealthy. And they don't have to be. That's not the point. Just like David Platt talked about this morning, we all, though relatively, have a lot of wealth compared to the rest of the world. Let's reallocate that a little bit. And this is a beautiful way of inviting people to reallocate their funds. People love to give where they know they're going to help a child. And adoption is such a beautiful picture. If I can give and help a vulnerable child, and I'm helping maybe a friend or a family member, somebody that I know, love, trust, have a relationship with, do life with, that's a beautiful thing. And when I give, 100% of what I give goes right to help fund those adoption costs. There's not much of a downside to that whole scenario. So it really invites people to respond to the matching grant. Please forgive me for my voice. As you can tell, it's not as strong as I'd like it to be, but thanks for being patient. So on average, if we give a matching grant of $2,500, that typically mobilizes about another $5,000. These are very much averages, so that total would be about $7,500 as a help based on a $2,500 commitment. So the key strategy there is, of course, we're leveraging God's money, using it smartly, being a good steward, and a little bit innovatively. So here's the process. Really, this is a little bit of the weeds, but I want you to kind of just get an idea for how it works. Basically, the couple shares their adoption journey in a letter, just as if somebody were going out onto the mission field. They may share, hey, here's what God's done in our life. Here's an opportunity to pray. Here's an opportunity to give. And here's our story. And so as folks do that through a letter, through their blog, Facebook, etc., they indicate how much of a matching grant they've been given. Lifesong writes a letter saying, man, we come alongside of the Smiths. We believe God has raised them up for such a time as this, and we want to come alongside of them with a matching grant of X amount. And that adds some credibility and adds some momentum to that adoptive family who's sharing their story. And then we invite those people to send donations to Lifesong for Orphans. And really, they're preferencing the adoptive couple they want to help fund. We allocate those monies to that adoptive couple and then pay out their adoption expenses based on what has come in for them. So the end result is that the church body gets engaged, and the costs, the primary barrier of the costs, are being broken down. And again, I want to remember that 100% of all the donations given are going right to adoption costs. So Lifesong doesn't take out any administrative fee. Just a little side note, all of our admin costs of salary, travel, just the whole paying the light bill, all of that is funded by a different entity, a foundation who underwrites all of our costs to allow this to happen. So that's why we can do that. Lifesong for Orphans is a member of ECFA, which is the Evangelical Council on Financial Accountability. And so both this process has been approved by both ECFA and the IRS, so you can have comfort in that. I just want to share a story here. When we were going through our first adoption of Caleb, before we had him home, before we even were matched with Caleb as a child that we were going to adopt, we started out this adoption journey. I'm going to even back up for a moment. Traver, our 10-year-old and oldest, I was praying with him one night, and we had not mentioned adoption yet to our kids. But we were just kicking the idea around, going, man, what does this do to our family? You know, our first two children, how does this affect them? And just a little bit unsure of that. And we just really pleaded that God would make it clear to us. And I'm praying with Traver one night. He's 4 years old at this time. And we're praying, and he says, hey, Dad, you know all those orphans in Ukraine that don't have any moms or dads? I got a neat idea. How about if maybe we can bring one of them here, and then you and mom could be their mom and dad. Then they'd have one. Kind of like, man, I got this great idea, you know, get on board. And Jill and I were going, wow, it's wild to think that without us telling him or sharing with him what we're doing, how he gets the simplicity and the power of adoption and God's great pursuit. So anyway, that amongst other things, we felt led to adopt. We began that process. And the adoption cost was going to cost us about $22,000, which was a little bit over half of my salary at that time. And we only had about $2,000 in the bank. So doing the difficult math, 22 minus 2, you know, I'm going, man, $20,000 short. How's that going to happen? And so we did this matching grant process that I just shared with you. But there's one point where God really did a renovation in our hearts. And it was another night when I'm praying with Traver. And we're praying and I'm saying, God, please take care of Caleb. We had named him, but we didn't have a picture yet. Take care of him in Korea. We were just praying for his birth mother, that she'd become saved somehow, that she could get healing through what has happened. And we're praying for the foster mom that Caleb is living with. And we're just praying for him like that. And then I get to the point of, God, help us to have enough money to bring him home. I don't really know how we're doing that. And again, Trevor's like, hey, Dad, I got an idea. He stops me in the middle of the prayer, and he's got this Crown Financial Bank, you know, that's divided into the bank and the store and the church, and it teaches them how to give and spend. Not that they need help with that part, right? But he's like, hey, I got some money. I could give that to you, and then we'd have enough to go get Caleb. And I'm like, oh, you know, kind of really poo-pooed it a little bit. I was like, well, don't worry about that, Trevor. God's got it taken care of. But as soon as those words came out, I was convicted because I didn't believe that. I just said that, and I told that to my son because it was the right thing to say, not because I really believed it yet. The next morning, I'm doing my devotions downstairs. Traver comes down, and he has his bank, and he loosens each of the flaps, and he shakes out all the money on the kitchen counter. And it's this pile of change, you know, quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies. I can remember two $1 bills. And he scoops almost all of it over and says, Dad, now we have enough to get Caleb. And I was just struck because he gave almost all of it. I mean, it was like 90%. It was like the reverse tithe, you know? I'm going, man, we struggle sometimes to give even 10%, let alone 90. And it was amazing. Jill and I were talking back and forth. We're like, oh, yeah, well, it's easy for him to do that because he can give away all of his money because he knows we're going to take care of him. And then we're like, but that's the same exact promise that God tells us. Traver gets it. We don't get it. God was showing us we don't get it yet. And so I said, hey, babe, why don't we just take this money in? I want it to be a real part of our adoption process. And so my wife takes this little Ziploc baggie of change into the bank. It's Heartland Bank and Trust in Lexington, Illinois, is where we lived at that time. And so she takes it into the bank, and the teller puts it through the change counting machine, and the total of all the money comes up to be $7.77 exactly. Wow. And the seven is just a number of God's perfection, of God's completion. And really what God was saying is, hey, this adoption, I've called you to it, and I'm going to provide. This is perfect. I'm going to complete it financially, emotionally, spiritually, all the things you worry about. I'm going to take care of that in my own definition of perfection and redemption. And so in Caleb's scrapbook is that receipt into our account of $7.77 as an Ebenezer of God's faithfulness. Because through this process, this matching grant process, as we shared our story with family, friends, just people we did life with, every penny of that $20,000 was taken care of. Every penny. And not because somebody wrote a check for 10 grand or 5 grand or 20 grand, but because the body of Christ stepped up and gave and responded. And that's what can happen, and we see happen over and over. LifeSong has helped about 1,100 children become adopted through grants and loans. And that story is not unique. The dollar amounts change, but God's provision is the same. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the adoption tax credit and adoption loans. Now, so we're switching gears a bit. How many of you have heard about the federal adoption tax credit? Great, almost everybody. So it's $12,000 this year, but it is also set to expire at the end of this year. Hopefully that will be renewed, and there's efforts to help make that happen. If it does not get renewed, it goes back down to $5,000 per child. But the Christian Alliance for Orphans and some other groups are trying to help make sure that gets renewed, so we will see. But the interest-free loan really kind of leverages that concept. And here's how it works. You get that tax credit of $12,000 or whatever it is each year. You get that back, but maybe that doesn't happen for a year or two or 3 years down the road. So you still have to pay all your adoption costs up front. And so there's this cash flow crunch, really. And so what the loan does is it says, hey, here's a covenant agreement. We're going to give you this amount of money as a loan up front to help pay for those costs. And then as you get the federal tax credit back, then you just make a covenant to repay that loan either on a monthly or an annual basis. And as that money comes back in, we give it right back out to the next family. And the sooner that those are repaid, the sooner more children get adopted through grants and loans. And so the idea here is it's a great strategy of just creating a self-sustaining fund where we're recycling the money and just being good stewards. Any questions on that before we kind of move into church adoption funds? Right. It's a great point. Basically, you can't get back more than you have a tax liability for. So if my taxes is $3,000 this year, the most I'm going to get back that I have a liability for is $3,000. The most I'm going to get back for this federal tax credit is $3,000 this year. Then next year, whatever my taxes are, $4,000, I'm just using random numbers here, then I get that $4,000 back the second year. And it keeps going until the full $12,000 comes back to you, as long as you have that tax liability up to $12,000 and you have adoption costs of at least that much. So, in other words, you can't get back more than you paid for your adoption. And so you can keep doing that year after year up to 5 years. So most people can recoup that.
They can get the tax deductible.
Yep, definitely. It's a great question. So basically, maybe you know people would like to give or they've already expressed interest, then you can apply to LifeSong. Once you're approved, we can say, yes, we can start receiving donations on behalf of your adoption, even without a matching grant, which is what I hear you say.
What happens so you get that?
Yep, that's a great question. Basically, all the adoptive families do two things. One, they send us invoices, whatever bills they have to pay to the adoption agency. Instead of that family paying it, they say, hey, LifeSong, can you pay this invoice for us? So we write a check from LifeSong to that service provider, the home study agency or the adoption agency or whatever, and take care of that. Or there's costs like travel where we say, you go ahead and put that on your credit card, and then you send us some sort of documentation, a paid receipt, that this is for this travel, this is what I paid. And as long as there's a paper trail and documentation, then we basically cut a reimbursement check to you of those expenses that you can document. If you receive more donations than your adoption costs, let's say your adoption costs $20,000 and you receive $25,000, then that $5,000 goes to help fund another family that's maybe right in line after you. So we would give that $5,000 out to another family as a loan or as a grant. Right. Basically, when you receive money from other organizations or maybe your employer gives you a tax credit, a grant, an adoption benefit, then those things you typically exclude them from the adoption loan amount that you're going to, I'm sorry, from the adoption tax credit amount that you're going to claim with the government. So yeah, typically you're either going to get the credit back from the government or you're going to get funded by a LifeSong Show Hope or employer benefit.
So you take that all
Okay, let's move to church adoption funds, and then we can regroup near the end for more questions. So basically, let's think about how can we bring these tools, the matching grants, the interest-free loans, direct grants, how can we bring these tools to the local church? How many of you have a church adoption fund set up in your church that you attend? Okay, two? What churches? Three? This is what churches do you go to? Fantastic. These are starting to pop up a lot more. And so Lifesong just wants to help make that happen, make it easy for a church to say yes. Here's how we go about kind of shaping that with your church leadership. I bet if you were to go back and look at your church's mission and vision statements, you'd see those four main components: evangelism, edifying the saved, serving, just being a light and example. And what we do at Lifesong is we say, hey, let's look at a church's vision and mission and say, those are some key components. Let's help tie them into what does that, here's a practical way to live that out through an adoption fund, through orphan ministry, through foster care. And I mentioned before, adoption really is evangelism and discipleship just at its very core. It's one of the deepest forms that we could ever do for any of our children, adopted or biological. So if we say we want to be about evangelism, what a great way. And we want to invite our people to put their faith into action, not just have some kind of theory faith, but really living it out loud. And how can we not serve the most needy? And when we do, we become a light and an example in the community. People see the church is involved, relevant, and meeting today's needs, especially in an environment where there's such social justice is becoming a trend. The church can live that out. Go back to its early roots. The early church was known for taking care of the poor, the widows, the orphan, the abandoned. And we've kind of waned over the years, but now we can reclaim that. So I'm going to go through, and I'm going to be, Lifesong for Orphans helps churches set up and facilitate a fund. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But that's not the only option. And so I want to give you the three different options you really have in all fairness here. The first option is, hey, a church creates their own 501c3, their own nonprofit entity with a board and audits and all that kind of stuff. The other is that maybe the church is just going to handle the fund in-house. So they're going to receive all donations but on behalf of families. They're going to cut checks back to families as just reimbursements. Or they're going to just do all the accounting, the receiving, the administration. Or they may use a partner like a Lifesong or the ABBA Fund to help administer the fund. And really, we do all of that for them so that they don't have to. So the question for you is, as you represent your church, which makes most sense for you? This is obviously a lot more work. This is possible depending on the size of your church and how your leadership feels about doing that. But all three of those could work. I think most people, most churches probably do number two or number three. And probably some, but few do number one. Okay, here is number one. You apply to the IRS, you get your tax-exempt status, you set bylaws, you have trustees, you do the independent audits. Number two is you just kind of think through, hey, how do we manage our own fund? What kind of adoptions are we going to fund? Who is eligible? All these questions here, and then, you know, are we cool with all the IRS ramifications of managing and dispersing funds out of our own church account? If you're cool with that, then you can do that. Or the third option is partnering with somebody like Lifesong or the ABBA Fund, and we'll talk about what that looks like here. Typically, what we find at Lifesong is the top three barriers are right here. Number one, the church staff plate's already full, so people are already overloaded, a lot of work to be done. Adding something doesn't sound very appealing to your leadership. So when you're in your passion and you're savvy and you're saying, hey, this is how we get to live this out and here's work for you, you know, it kind of reduces the energy and excitement. So the solution is, hey, Lifesong will manage it for you. We'll facilitate it for you. We will review applications, do the accounting, donor receipts, dispersing of funds. And we do all of that based on, we're not going to just go Lone Ranger and do that. We're going to do that based on mutually agreed upon criteria. Second barrier is the church feels really uncomfortable or awkward saying no to their own families. That can get weird. It's easy to say yes. It's hard to say no. But there's times when it makes sense. Maybe there's a good reason why this adoption shouldn't happen right now. Or maybe there's a good financial reason why it's not best stewardship to give funding at this point. So LifeSong can be that kind of independent third party that does that on behalf of the church again. And then the third thing is there's just unfamiliar territory. Your CFOs or accountants kind of get a little squirrely sometimes of saying, man, how do I manage all that and still be in good favor with the IRS and ECFA and all of that? So really, because we've helped 1,100 children become adopted and we have a lot of church adoption funds that we serve, there's some passion and expertise that we can bring and, again, do that all at no cost at all. There's no fee to a church to set this fund up. If they seed the fund with the money, we will serve them with it. So the church can be as involved or uninvolved as they'd like to be. It's real easy to set up. We would give monthly reports on how the balance of the fund, disbursements, commitments, all of that. And really at the bottom line, the church is actively engaged with very little burden, and yet the adopted child is home, the financial barrier is removed, and the church was engaged. It's a beautiful thing. I'm going to share with you a church, Irving Bible Church in the Dallas, Texas area, who has one of the most vibrant adoption and foster care ministries, one of them in the nation. So this is a little video that they did to help talk about what they did and why they did it. And with that, I will begin.
In the last 12 months, we have been able to help 12 families meet the financial challenge of adoption through the Tapestry Assistance Fund, primarily through matching grants, but also through one loan in one case. And it's just been a real blessing to be able to say yes to families when they come to us and they say, we really feel like God has called us to adopt. We feel like the next best move for our family is adoption. And yet we have this financial challenge standing in the way. We're able to say to them that God has provided resources through our community of families, and we have a means to get those resources to families who truly have a financial need. And we're able to say that. We're able to say yes to these families because of the ministry that LifeSong has and its willingness to serve the local church.
LifeSong wants to help bring down this financial barrier that prevents so many children from being adopted. And using strategic tools of the adoption matching grants and interest rate loans, we want to bring those tools to the local church. And our heart is, let's lavishly equip, generously serve the church so that they can do what LifeSong is already doing. We'll give our expertise away. We'll help make that happen within the context of a local church. And that's really our heart's desire, is to help a church help their own families to bring down that financial barrier and help more children become adopted. It's a win. Win-win, because the child's adopted, the church is actively engaged, and minimal burden upon the church.
When we first began to consider an adoption assistance fund, there were a number of concerns that we had. Those concerns ranged from the fact that we didn't know how to go about doing this, to we didn't really have the resources and the time to do it. And also we were concerned about mixing adoption and money, and how that dynamic would potentially impact our community of families and our ministry. We are so grateful to have been able to partner with LifeSong for Orphans, because they have been able to help us effectively and successfully address each of those barriers in a way that I think not only has allowed us to have a successful and very effective adoption assistance fund in our local church, but also in a way that has, I think, added a depth and breadth to our ministry, our adoption and foster care ministry, that we didn't have before. And so I think rather than those, in hindsight, rather than those things that we were concerned about being true barriers, they were really an open door for us to walk through in faith with an effective partner willing to serve us and meet the needs that we had as a local church ministry. And together, Tapestry and LifeSong, I think, have been able to put together a tool and a mechanism for families to really see God work in amazing ways as He helps them meet the financial challenge of adoption.
The way that LifeSong is set up is that through the proceeds of a business that was sold several years ago, that was put into a foundation, and that foundation covers all the administrative costs of LifeSong for Orphans, so that's salary or office, travel, those sort of things, so that 100% of whatever is donated to LifeSong goes right out to orphan care or adoption funding. So the same thing applies to local church adoption funds. As a church sets up a fund, 100% of the money that's allocated or earmarked or sent to the fund on behalf of the fund is given right back out to the fund families, and zero of it goes to any of our administrative costs.
Well, and I think also with the assistance fund, we have a lot of families that have been on rabbit trails trying to chase down what adoption's all about and where to find resources, and they finally get to a place where they can find those resources, and then there's this huge financial burden, and they then don't know where to turn. And for us to have to say, well, here are some places you can go, here are some loans that you maybe can get, and we can provide those resources, but to actually say we have money within an assistance fund that has to do with our ministry to help you makes a huge difference for so many families.
We had gotten some information that the Tapestry Fund might be available to us since it was so late in the year and that sort of thing, and so we started pursuing that, and then through that, LifeSong awarded us a $1,500 matching grant, and I was still like, I don't know how I feel about raising support. I've never been on a missions trip. I've never done anything like that, partly because of the way I was raised. I was just kind of made to feel guilty if I had to ask other people for money for anything. And just being a guy, you know, I didn't want it to appear like this was beyond my means, even though totally was. And so, you know, we kind of talked through it again, prayed through it, bounced it off friends who had sort of paved the way before us, and decided, let's raise support.
You know, in the body of Christ, there's a lot of different roles we can play as it relates to adoption. Some are called to adopt, some are able to give to help others adopt. Some aren't maybe at this season of life where they can adopt, but they sure will give to help others. And one of the beautiful things about the matching grants, it engages the body of Christ. No matter what stage of life, no matter what season, they can be a part of this adoption.
Well, I remember getting emails back too, you know, after we'd sent out the letters from friends saying, you know, we're going to give. It's not even a question. You know, we have to give to this. We want to. We almost long to give to this. And then hearing their hearts after that and realizing that, you know, this wasn't like a financial obligation to them, but this was God doing something in their heart. And then looking at the donor list and thinking, I know some of these people, and I know that what they gave is giving big. It's giving big for them. And God had to do something in their heart about adoption and about our family to inspire that. And it was so cool to think that by me humbling myself and saying, all right, we'll raise support and we'll ask people for their help and to partner with us in this, that provided, I guess, the space for God to go in and work in other people's hearts and let them be part of the journey in sort of the way, I don't know, like in the way we realized when we were fostering, that this is bigger than us, you know, and once again, this was so much bigger than us.
I think a lot has to do with how you view money and your past. And for me, you know, I wasn't raised with a lot of faith towards money. It was always like chaos, you know, there was never anyone showing me that God does provide. And so for me, I brought a lot of baggage into that whole process of, is He really going to provide? And really roots ugly head asking for money for the people. It was a lot of pride. Then I felt guilty that we've spent all this money on infertility. So aren't people going to kind of judge that? And we shouldn't have done that. Here we've there's no money left because we did infertility, and maybe we shouldn't have done infertility. It was very hard for me. And then finally, a friend of mine said, she looked at me and she said, Jennifer, and I was telling her my frustrations. I think we had just sent the letters out, and I was just struggling with it and angry that we had to do this. Like, why do we have to do this? And she said, this is not about you. This is about what, this made me cry, what God wants to do for the people when they get those letters. What are they going to do to them, not you? I was like, okay. Because I was making it all about me. And I was embarrassed. And anyway, he proved me wrong.
So much bigger than us, a picture of God's great pursuit of children to come to know Christ, to be eternally adopted through knowing Jesus in a Christian family, and that's a beautiful picture of God's provision to make that happen. So I wanted to talk just briefly. Here are a few of the Louisville Area Church Adoption Funds. I just thought it'd be interesting for you to know. If you don't know already, here's at least five in the Louisville area: Highview Baptist, Northeast, Trinity, Emmanuel, Naomi's Fund. Has anybody heard of Naomi's Fund? Yeah, fantastic couple that just have a great heart to bring down the barrier, whatever way it takes. So awesome group. And the Louisville Orphan Care Initiative team has an adoption fund as well. And so basically, if you or someone you know is a believing family in the Louisville area who is adopting, who has a financial barrier, let's say that your church does not have an adoption fund, then you can apply to the Loki Adoption Fund if you're from this area, and can get up to a $4,000 matching grant or up to a $10,000 interest-free loan. So if your church does have an adoption fund, then Loki kind of works with your church to do that. And Lifesong for Orphans really administers all these adoption funds. So we do that on behalf of Loki, but we do it in the name of Loki.
Andy?
Yeah?
With the Loki and Lifesong, the Lifesong matching and then 4,000 matching from Loki, how do those work together?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'll make a clarification. Basically, most couples are getting funded out of one bucket, so not multiple buckets. So if I can put adoption funds in buckets, then that's really how it works. So if they would get funded out of Loki, this $4,000 matching grant, then they're not going to probably get another grant from Lifesong. It's one or the other typically. We just facilitate the fund for Loki. Sometimes there's families who don't even know that this exists. They apply to Lifesong just to get a general grant or loan. And we say, hey, you're from this area. And after we do a review, we say, you might be a great candidate to get funded by Loki. So we pass you, we basically ask Loki if they will help fund you. And then also encourage you to get plugged in with this community because they're doing foster care, some other awesome stuff too. So to answer your question, you're really only getting funded out of one bucket, typically.
Does that go for just straight out grants also, or is that just matching grants? Like, if you apply for three different grants in three different places, do they typically just, if they already know you've gotten one from somewhere else?
Every place is different. Lifesong, at Lifesong, we ask you to tell us who else you've applied to and who you've received commitments from, but it doesn't, it's not a ding or a negative on whether we fund you. We want to know so we have an accurate balance of what your deficit is, but it's not like, oh, you got funded by Show Hope, so we're not going to fund you. It's not like that for us. I mean, some other organizations may work differently on that, but that's not going to be a showstopper. Is that your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, how they function is different, but they're not. You'd only get one or the other from Lifesong,
right.
And if you get a direct grant from a different group, you can still get a matching grant from us. No problem.
Did your website have a list of ministries in, we live in the Washington, D.C. area? Does it have a list of other, places like this?
Other church adoption funds or?
Or is that something we'd have to get from you?
Yeah, we have a list.
I guess the question is that information available online on your Lifesong?
Yes and no. All the churches, not all I should say, but most of the churches that Lifesong works with are listed on our website, and you can click on them and find out, you know, where they're at. But they're not broken down by geographic region. So you could call us, though, and say, hey, here's where I live or interested. Do you know of anybody? And we could help you there. But it's more, for the most part, you have to call us for that, I think. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. We typically start with, here's how we make our, in the general applicants to LifeSong's general fund, here's how we make our decisions. Here's our things that are important. Like, you know, are you going to help fund single parents adopting? That's a question for you as a church. Yes or no. And is this domestic or international or both? Do you want to use matching grants and interest-free loans, kind of have both tools at your disposal, or is there one that you want to do? You know, so there's different factors like that where we basically say, here's what LifeSong does, and that's a starting place, and then the church can tweak it based on what's important to them. Yeah, that's part of what we do in conference calls. We can really do it in one conference call with your church leadership, and we can. It's a turnkey deal where really some, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's not really rocket science. We do it every day, and we just say, hey, should we do it for your church? If so, let's talk about what's important, and then we'll go work on your behalf. So it's pretty simple to do.
If the church sets up a fund for you guys, does it have to be a matching grant fund, or can churches do direct grant funds through?
Yeah, you can. Churches can do direct grants or loans or matching, whatever is their preference. Our general fund is loans and grants and matching grants, but a church can do any that they want to do. Yeah.
How does it practically work out? You know, as we did our matching grant through our local church body and family and friends, if we had a church fund that they were giving to on a regular basis, then especially through our smaller church.
Like as an offering?
Yeah.
Like okay. Yeah, in a sense, you feel like you're asking them twice, maybe. Is that? Yeah, right. Well, it's one of those things that we talk through over the phone with your church leadership or whoever the decision makers are, and say, you know, some churches have said, man, you know what? The way we really ask is only once a year, maybe for the general fund, and or through this event or this offering or this allocation, we're going to do it. Just we're not going to do an additional ask from the church. We're just going to carve out this piece for the fund. That way it doesn't feel like the church is getting asked multiple times. However, there's definitely churches who don't have any problems with that scenario that you just laid out. So it's totally up to a church, and we talk them through, you know, what makes sense. We ask some questions on how would you be getting the general seed money for your fund started. And, you know, once you talk through that, then we say what makes best sense for using a grant, matching grant, we definitely want to be sensitive to that because we don't want to burn anybody out, and certainly it can be compassion fatigue, and so you want to be sensitive to that. But we handle that pretty well, I think. Yes. Yep.
How does that person get filtered for you guys?
Yeah. Once a church sets up a fund, then we take LifeSong's application and we brand it with your church logo or name. And so basically that joint application, your church's application, is put on your church website or bulletin board, however you can disseminate information. And so those people then know, hey, if I want to take advantage of the Highview Baptist Adoption Fund, then I go to Highview's website and I download that application. I send it in. And then when it comes into us, it's flagged, hey, this is a Highview application, and we know who to talk to about the final decision. We basically make a recommendation to our churches and say, here's what we would do. And, you know, do you agree, disagree? Do you want to change something? So we do that in consensus with a point person at the church, typically, before we communicate anything to a family. Some churches just say, hey, we trust you. You know, once we get it set up at the front and you just go do it. But it's nice. We like to have connection with the church to say, here's what we think. You would just want to sign off on that briefly and we'll run with it. Yeah, they probably would. Mm-hmm. That's what they have done in the past. Yeah. And as a just a clarification there, and LifeSong already receives more requests than we have funding for, so it's not like, oh, Hy-Vee doesn't have any, so we'll get it from LifeSong. Not necessarily, but that's the process you'd still go through. Yeah. LifeSong for Orphans also does orphan care work in about 6 different countries: Ethiopia, Zambia, India, Honduras, Ukraine, Liberia. So if that church were also partnering with us in one of those 6 countries where LifeSong is doing orphan care work, then we easily could do that. If it's through another organization, it gets a little bit tougher to do that. And so we haven't. It's not that we can't, but we've just said, if you feel like you're going to be doing some other kind of orphan care stuff outside of what LifeSong, where LifeSong does orphan care, then you should probably just hold that money. Yeah, there's really 2 options I'd suggest to you. One is you think about, hey, yeah, is there a way you can partner with one of LifeSong's country's orphan care initiatives? Or here's another concept. This is what we've developed recently this year called the Outside the Walls Network. And the idea here is that churches like these who say, hey, we allocated this money, we want to make sure it gets used, we want to be a part of a network. And this network is totally optional, completely optional. But it's like, hey, here's this network of churches that thinks outside their walls, says, man, if one of the other LifeSong Church Fund partners, if they ever happen to have a depleted fund at that time, and one of their families, a Hy-Vee family, comes to Hy-Vee and says, man, I'd love to adopt, and Hy-Vee just depleted their fund, then can that Hy-Vee family be sent out to a couple of other churches in the network and say, hey, you know, whoever wants to can just raise their hand and say, yeah, we'll fund that one. We can use our money to fund that one. So it's very optional. Nobody has to give a reason why, no, if that's what they feel. So that's another way we're trying to be a good steward of the money and keep it circulating. So, and then the church who is kind of putting up the funds for that adoption can also, you know, maybe share that story in their congregation. They can still use that story to share what they're doing amongst congregation or their donors or whoever. So we're just trying to facilitate that so that, so we're just good stewards. Okay. We just got a couple of minutes, so I'm going to move to one last thing. If any of you or your church leadership want to find out more about church adoption funds, you can join this monthly webinar. If you go to lifesongfororphans.org and click on church adoption funds, you'll see the new date and time each month. You just click on this register now, and you're automatically going to be put into the webinar, and you and your decision makers can listen in. It's a great opportunity and a safe environment. One last thing I want to talk about, and then I'm going to let you go. Another very cool way of helping both a widow and an orphan, and that's why it's called Both Hands. One to help the widow, one to help the orphan. It was started by J.T. Olson, a gentleman out of Nashville, Tennessee. But basically, a team gets, instead of a golf fundraiser, I get sponsored to go play golf, and then that money goes to a charity. Instead of me getting sponsored to go play golf, how about if we get a team of sponsors, sponsors who help fund a team that says, I'm going to go fix up a widow's house. And so whatever those renovations are, maybe it's siding or painting or landscaping, it's done volunteer basis by this team. And then the sponsorship money helps fund adoptions. And 100% of the donated funds are used for adoption expenses. I'm going to show you this 4.5-minute video of how it works, and then we'll let you go.
Does it say who pays for the supplies?
Yeah, that's a great question. Typically, either a general contractor or a construction person in that area can, or another project leader can contact like a Lowe's or a Home Depot and see if some of those materials can be donated. Or A local contractor may be willing to do that themselves. So typically, there's not a lot of expenses in the materials they're being given.
This is the maiden voyage of Both Hands, the organization called Both Hands. And Both Hands came to me because about 5 years ago, I was doing a fundraiser, mailed out some letters to some people to sponsor me. I was playing golf. And a good friend of mine wrote a letter back, sent my letter back and said, you know, JT, if you guys are working on a widow's house, I might think about sponsoring you. But you're just playing golf. And the idea never left me. I thought, what a great idea.
But I thank God for this, because it's through Him that this was made possible. And I thank Mr. Ostrom and the other workers for obeying His will. I'm so grateful to everybody that's helping to do all the work.
It's been an awesome day. As you can see, there's lots of people working here, painting and fixing up to help Ms. Lucille with her house. I know it's been a blessing to her. I've already spoken with her. And it's certainly been a blessing to my family to be able to receive all the sponsorships for the adoption, which has been quite extensive. So it's just great to see everyone come out. Thank you for all the folks who've come and helped with their time and effort. It's been truly amazing.
I just want you to know that God is Jehovah Jireh, not any of these tools, programs, ideas, even though they're awesome. It is God alone who provides, and that's going to be made manifest in every adoption. So thank you very much.